Stay tuned now on 1460 WVOX for The Ballot Box with your hosts Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin. The Ballot Box is a monthly program brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Now, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to The Ballot Box. I'm Tamar Tate and I'm joined by my co-host Nina Lubin. We're coming to you, as always, on behalf of the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle, courtesy of WVOX 1460 AM and our talented sound engineer, Gerald Bell. So, Nina, how are you doing this morning?
Hi, Tamar. I am grateful to report that things are okay. I'm looking forward to meeting our guest, Regina Tillman, chair of the New York State League of Women Voters Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Task Force. You know, Tamar, I've been a League member for a little over a year now, and my education about the League's past century of helping to make and maintain our representative democracy, a government by and for all of us, that education is far, far from over. But one thing I'm learning is that what the League accomplishes is powered by its members. It's a fiercely grassroots organization that offers every member, whether that member is on the League's national board or is the newest newbie at a local branch, the League offers its members the opportunity to help shape the direction of this nation. And it does it all under a nonpartisan banner. Another thing that I'm learning is that the League walks its talk. One, if not the guiding League principle, is that a strong democracy needs all of its members to contribute, to offer their ideas and their viewpoints, and to criticize ideas and viewpoints that are put before them. That's the League's talk. The League's walk is the nationwide effort that the League makes to reach out to people who represent the breadth of our citizenry and engage them in our work. So diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, are three concepts that are central to the League's effort to engage individuals, households, communities, and policymakers in order to get us a more representative democracy. Our guest this morning is, as I mentioned, DEI Task Force Head Regina Tillman, who can explain how DEI makes the League more inclusive and how an organization enriched like this can reach beyond the League to move the United States toward a more perfect democracy.
Yeah, so let me give a little background first on our guest, Regina Tillman. Regina Tillman became a member of the League of Women Voters in Albany County in the fall of 2016. She was responding, as many did to the Times, by looking for a structured way to respond to continued voter apathy. During that first year of membership, she sat in on board of directors meetings. She served on several of the Albany League's committees. She took advantage of really any training being offered, as well as attending the New York State League Convention in Syracuse. And one of the first tangible steps she took was to assist the local league by introducing the membership committee and to the board of directors a model of volunteer management referred to as ISOTURE. Maybe she can tell us a bit more about that. It's ISOTURE. This is a model that, when adopted, promises to aid in improved retention of volunteering members. In June of 2018, Regina was tapped to become the first vice president administration of the League of Women Voters of Albany County. She also took the helm of her personal favorite committee, membership committee. And as a native of Buffalo, New York, Regina lived and worked in various areas of the Northeast before landing in Albany in 1994 as the Veterans Administration Medical Center's Clinical Nutrition and Food Service Department Program Manager. Her career there transitioned into a 10-year association with the Cooperative Extension System, affiliated with Cornell University, and she continues to volunteer as a farmer's at a farmer's market located in the primarily rural upstate county of, and I never know if I'm pronouncing this county's name correctly, Schoharie. So seeing the role of workplace culture from all these different geographical locations while selecting, supervising, and managing a broad range of job categories allows Regina to tap into her life experiences for the benefit of the league. She said that she sees it as a win-win, as she also gains from her association with the wide array of talent that league membership encompasses. So, welcome to the Ballot Box, Regina. We're so glad to have you with us here this morning.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy for the invitation.
We're so happy you could join us. Before we delve into the important work that you've undertaken with the league's DEI task force, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what motivated you to join the League of Women Voters. You know, there are so many organizations that are seeking to engage people in civic affairs. What about the League of Women Voters resonated with you?
Ah, good question. Because at that time, I was out beginning to try on the mantle of protesting once again. I hadn't done that since high school, but being out in the street with signs, you know, that you made to protest different situations. So I was involved in that when a friend of mine said to come with her to a membership potluck at the league. And so I decided to go, and there were all these league people, and they were talking about all their programs, and the background being that, you know, they tend to study their issues, they don't dash into making taking stances, but evaluate the situation, their nonpartisanship. It all kind of spoke to my background, a science-oriented background, you know, for my profession. So it seemed like a good fit at the time. And I became a member within, several months of having attended that meeting.
Yeah, that's one of the things, actually, I can say attracted me to is the league really is very nonpartisan. They take each issue and they parse it, as you said, almost scientifically.
Yes.
And it allows each of us to make more educated decisions on the issues. So it seems like, you joined and you just skyrocketed in terms of taking on more and more responsibilities. So obviously it resonated with you. We're hoping to grow our own league, and you know, this DEI initiative that you've started is something we are watching very closely.
Excellent. And let me just say that the DEI initiative, I was graced with the invitation from the state league, actually. Maybe it was in part because of my work on my local membership committee.
I'm afraid we're going to have to take a commercial break, but we're going to pick up where we left off with Regina Tillman after this commercial break.
Thank you.
Let's return now to The Ballot Box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome back to The Ballot Box with our guest, Regina Tillman, head of the New York State League of Women Voters Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Task Force. Regina, welcome back. And let's dive right in with a little definitional stuff here. The three words, diversity, equity, and inclusion, they sound like they should be related. Would you define these terms for us and explain how they connect?
Surely, yes. And I will reflect upon the League of Women Voters U.S. Definitions, because they have spent a lot of time making them relevant to the league. So diversity, to start off with, essentially includes all the similarities and differences among people. It's not limited to, but it includes gender identification, ethnicity, race, native or indigenous origin, age, the generation you're in, sexual orientation, culture, etc. It refers to population groups that have been historically underrepresented in socially, politically, or economically powerful institutions and organizations. And these groups include populations of color, such as African American, Blacks, Latinx, Native Americans, etc. So essentially, diversity is the consideration of any difference amongst people that make them individuals. It can include such things as their thinking style, their personality type, their physical appearance, their abilities, mental health, language. So anything that makes you a person, individual person, is part of that diversity picture. Now, equity has to deal with approaches and practices. And it's based in fairness to ensure that everyone is given equal opportunity. That means that resources may be divided and shared unequally to make sure each person has a fair chance to succeed. Have you all seen the picture of the three little boys that are looking over a fence and they have different number of boxes stacked under their legs? One boy who is tall and can see over the fence has a box, and one that is medium size has a box, but it only raises him to about mid-level of the fence. And the smallest boy doesn't see anything because he's so small, and one box doesn't do it. It doesn't get him nearly a to the top of over, just look over the fence. That is equality, giving everybody the same size box. Equity says you're going to look at, where the disparity is and try to rebalance it in terms of what your practices are. So it may be the unequal distribution may require that the little guy at the end gets two or three boxes and is able then to see over the fence, whereas the tall guy, who already sees over the fence, may not get any. So that's a hard concept for people to digest in many cases, prioritizing. Yeah. So
I think there's a lot of confusion people have between equality and equity.
And so the way you're describing it with the boxes makes it very clear that equity, if, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, equity actually goes a step further, and it refers to offering varying levels of support depending on need to achieve greater fairness of outcomes. Is that, would that be a fair analysis?
Exactly. It's based in fairness, but it looks different to different people because some folks are already marginalized, already underserved, and need to get an extra boost to get to the same place that another group is already existing at.
Okay.
So, inclusion is an ongoing process. According to the league, it's not a static state of being. It is very intentional, and an environment that is inclusive ensures equitable access to resources and opportunities for all. It enables individuals and groups to feel safe, respected, engaged, motivated, and valued for who they are and for their contributions toward the organizational and societal goals. So inclusive, in short terms, people use this as an example, being welcomed to the door or through the door is diversity. To be invited to sit at the table is inclusion. So it requires a little bit more intensity than just having, you know, an array of people of different backgrounds in the room. Who are you listening to? Are you trying to reach out and listen to the folks that look different from you? Mm-hmm. Because if not, guaranteed, they're not going to stay long. So, and actually, in the wide world of DEI, it's beginning to become more routine practice to include the word belonging in that whole scheme of things.
So we're going to have to take yet another commercial break. When we come back, Regina, I'd like to continue with this question to learn what, for the League of Women Voters, these words mean and how they connect. Okay?
Let's return now to The Ballot Box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome back to The Ballot Box with our guest, Regina Tillman from the League of Women Voters Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Task Force. Regina, thank you for a tremendously illustrative definition of these three words, diversity, equity, and inclusion, equity being the tougher one, really, to get arms around, and we appreciate your analogy and your illustration. So diversity, equity, and inclusion. So how do these, what does the league do with these terms? How do they connect for the league, and what actions, activities are now happening at the league to make these a lens by which the league functions?
Well, excellent that you use that word, lens, because that is exactly how they're translating it to the population within the league. And hopefully those outside of the league. They're providing material for us to prompt us to think about looking at the work we do through the DEI lens, which requires that we maybe examine some of our own biases and make things a little easier to access and easier to to service those who are underserved by our organization. So DEI Lens does come into play. Actually, there's a webinar next week. They have a monthly webinar on the national level on DEI, and next week it is exactly on that, applying a DEI lens to our activities and events. So,
is that something our listeners can just log on to the National League of Women Voters website to access?
Yes, they can. It's you have to go through the league management route, if need be, I can send anyone who can't find it a link to the site. But yes. Now, otherwise, last year they connected with a third party and made available a pass-through grant that any league, local league, could connect with. And it required that some study occur. It was like 30 hours of study. It was called the Equitable Leadership Program Grant. And I kind of rustled up some members in New York State, some of the leagues in New York State. So we wound up getting 10 of those grants. In that way, 10 of our local leagues underwent that study. And so we're actually going to apply the funds for that to fund a nationally known speaker for our upcoming council meeting for the state, for which all members of the league can sit in on. I'm not sure if it's open to non-members, but I would think so as well.
So this was a grant to essentially train several different league branches in applying a DEI lens to their activities.
Yes. Yeah.
I was just
reflecting on the fact that it was rather intense.
I was going to ask about that. Was the study done as a group? Was it online modules? Was it how did that take place? And can you give an example, for instance, of something that was studied?
We had to complete an organizational equity plan of action, as well as a personal equity plan of action, which is an interesting take on the subject. And I'm sorry, I forgot the rest of that question.
the course of study was, and you know, a sample of something that was studied.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, how they applied it was there were modules that we had to go through, but they also had this other twist to it, whereas we had to respond in an open forum to different questions as we were going through each module. So our responses were on display for others to comment on who are taking the module as well, to comment on. So it got to be a conversation then between anybody in the country who was taking that module and, you know, giving you feedback, you giving them feedback. So there was this great element of interactivity to the learning.
Okay. And I just would like to return for 1 minute to the webinar that you mentioned. Can we go over the details once again? When is that?
That would be next Thursday at 7 o'clock. And if you go through the league management area, you can find the website there.
In other words, if you go to League of Women Voters of the U.S., the national site, League of Women Voters U.S., and then click on League Management?
Yes.
Okay, and that'll get you to the webinars. And you,
And
it's open
to non-members. Yeah, you can find DEI after that point, and the webinars will come up.
Okay. All right.
And like I said, sometimes it does get difficult to find, so I can email either you directly after this call, and you know you can respond to others with questions on where to find it, or they can email me directly for the link.
Why don't you give your email address now?
Yes.
Like them.
Yeah. It is RMT, as in Regina Maria Tillman, RMT370@gmail.com.
Okay. RMT370@gmail.com. So this is very generous of you, Regina, for listeners that would like to find out more about the League, the League's DEI lens, or anything else having to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion in terms of the League of Women Voters. This is the email, rmt370@gmail.com. I hope and I don't hope at the same time that you have hundreds of emails waiting.
Yes, yes. I mean,
that's always the risk. Always the risk.
Yeah.
Regina, I was wondering if we could just get back to that term lens for a second. So when you're talking about the DEI lens in terms of the work that the League is doing, is that focused on any particular aspect of the League's work, or everything from like voter registration to issue analysis to candidate forms? And I hear the commercial break is upon us, so hopefully we will be able to pick that up on our return.
We'll be back.
Let's return now to the Ballot Box with your hosts Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, the Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Hi, welcome back to the Ballot Box. I'm Tamar Tate. I'm here with Nita Lubin, speaking with Regina Tillman, the New York State League of Women Voters head of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Task Force. And before the break, Regina was telling us about looking at the work of the League through the DEI lens. And we were about to start talking about how that attempt translates into the actual work of the League. You know, if listeners want to get involved in some of the work the League does, what can they expect? What can they look for through this DEI lens? So,
well,
Regina, maybe you can point us in the direction.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. There is an excellent one-pager on the website, the national website, and ultimately I hope to place it on our own state website in the near future. But it asks what to ask when examining one's work through a DEI lens, and it's short and sweet. Who is involved in the process is the first category. So you begin to interpret that in terms of are key stakeholders meaningfully included? Is their voice represented? If the work is impacting other groups or communities, is their voice represented? How diverse is the group of decision makers? Is it diverse enough? You know, giving some thought to that when you are taking on a project or a goal. The next is, who will be impacted? So first was who is involved in the process. Who will be impacted is the next thought process. Who benefits from this? Who is burdened by this? does this help us meet the needs of underserved voters? So, in total, there is some impact that one needs to address. What are the intended and unintended outcomes? For example, what issues are we trying to solve? What do we hope will happen? What data or evidence supports this? Again, here we are with the evidence-based approach of the League. And then, does this align with our vision for an equitable and inclusive organization? And so one has to begin to think of how is equity being addressed in this project? What barriers might this place in the way of achieving equity? How does this impact the League's culture? And what changes could be made to make this more equitable? So you are really honing down on any kind of work that you're doing. You're honing down on the whole idea of equitable and inclusive organizational approach to the activity.
Regina, you had mentioned that this effort was officially begun, I believe, in, was it 2018 or 2019? I'm wondering whether someone new to the League might ask, you know, well, why now? Like, hasn't this always been part of the League's outlook? How do you respond to questions like that?
Yes. Unfortunately, it has not always been the stance of the League. Going back, way back to its founding, there were issues. I think people will have it, can bring to mind the picture of the 1913 march that occurred in Washington with Inez Mill-Holland on her white horse in the front, and thousands of League, or not League at the time, but thousands of women marching afterwards. And Black women who have been involved in fighting for enfranchisement were told to go to the back of the march. So since that time, things had not really improved much, but... And that's because of the culture of, in many cases, the United States that was kind of accepted and just moved on with it. However, thankfully, things do change. And in, I believe it was 2018, they issued a transformational roadmap to the membership of the League, and a couple things were pointed out there, and one of them was that it needed to change in many ways, and part of that change was to be more inclusive and more diversified as an organization. So since then, right thereafter, the New York State League created the office or the position, the board position of vice president for DEI, which I'm not sure many leagues have done that. That was really a statement being made by the president who put that forth to the board to have that done. So thereafter, New York State has been really beginning to rally. When I put it out there that there was a grant there, like I said earlier, we had 10 members who, or leagues that went for it. And out of like, you know, 40, 45 grants, we earned 10 of those. So that puts us very far in advance in terms of information adoption of DEI into our practice. The National League has made it a mandatory that everyone adopt the policy for DEI, the national policy, and make it evident to memberships and to the public. So we're taking steps, and the task force is one of those steps that helps move information out to the local leagues, and the local leagues will have their own organizational equity plan to develop. And we actually just finished a DEI assessment survey. So we had at least 10 local leagues throughout the state fill that in, which allows us then to aggregate information and see, you know, where some major holes exist so that we can make a statewide equity plan that addresses at least some of the issues that exist.
So the league has jumped right into the times. This is a time that is looking carefully at and calling for more DEI at every level of society. And the league has taken it on, and then some. So I'm proud of this new organization that I'm a member of at the moment, the League of Women Voters. Regina, can we, in the time remaining, move to something that is a little bit different? Because Tamar and I understand that you are a music festival coordinator, at least one of them in 2019, a festival called The Spirit of the Suffragettes. And apparently this was a bringing alive of the suffragettes as radical role models to explore gender imbalance throughout the society. So can you tell us a little bit about that, and was it inspired by your work with the league?
Well, me applying for it, for the role, for the job, was inspired by working with the league, and it was helpful. I'll put it that way. It was helpful. However, being one of those small venues in taking a role like that means you probably will be doing a little bit of everything. So that's exactly what I was doing, a little bit of everything. I was cooking. On most festival days, organizing tents being pitched, in between calling organizations to show up for the resource fair portion.
Well, I'm hoping once the pandemic is behind us, you can do this again, and Nina and I will drive on up to Albany for it. Until then, thank you so much, Regina, for joining us on the Ballot Box. And our next show will be on March 17th. And we hope you'll join us. Until then, thanks for listening and stay safe, everyone.